The power of Jesus is that through faith he can turn the ordinary into the extraordinary vessels of God's love. Again, the power of Jesus is that through faith he can transform the ordinary into the extraordinary, namely vessels of God's love. I'm going to get back to that, but I'll start by saying in elementary school, they would introduce us as children to grief and to the concept of death through books like Where the Red Fern Grows, that were about inevitably a dying dog or a dying horse. I never once as a kid read a book that was sentimental about a donkey. Right? Doesn't exist. In fact, the only story that really sort of has a donkey as a main role is Shrek, which is about a green ogre who lives in a swamp and his donkey friend. So donkeys aren't really a celebrated animal. They're a pack animal. They're a workhorse. They're not a very special thing. They would have been common in ancient Israel. They were as ordinary as you could get. But Jesus is going to use this donkey, set it free, transform it for an extraordinary purpose. Again, Jesus is going to take this ordinary donkey and use it for an extraordinary purpose. And as he enters into Jerusalem, he's saying, hey, I'm the Messiah. This is what Jesus is doing in this. And he's announcing that his kingdom is coming. And he sets up a powerful contrast between the way that Rome works and the way that Jesus works. Because you see, Romans, they were good at conquering. And when they conquered a city or a village or a town, they would do a whole royal procession of all of the military officers. And their battle armor would be clean. And they would be on chariots and mighty war horses. And there would be lots of swords and shields on display. But this is not so with Jesus. And it's again because Jesus is going to have a different sense of what power is. Power for Rome is through intimidation and violence to impose their will and their truth on other people. That's what power is for Rome, through violence and intimidation to impose their truth and their will on other people. And this is still a seductive way of understanding power. We just look at the news this last week, whether it's Israel and Rafah, or the new barrage of missiles on Kiev, or the explosion in Moscow, or even a bomb threat in Lancaster. Wherever you go, this is a seductive way of thinking about power, that it's the ability through violence and intimidation to impose our will on people, to impose our truth on them. But Jesus is displaying power today with this donkey. He's doing something extraordinary. He's making a statement here about what true power is. It's not about soldiers. It's about palm branches. It's not about coercion. It's about setting people free. It's not about pride. It's about humility. It's not about conquest. It's about overcoming suffering through love. It's such a different way of thinking about the world. Again, power for Jesus is the ability through faith to transform the ordinary into the extraordinary, into vehicles and vessels of God's love. And this is what he's doing on Palm Sunday, whether it's the branches of the field, the common branches, or just the common folk, or again, the donkey. It's the ordinary's becoming the extraordinary. And this is what Jesus has been doing his entire ministry. Right from the beginning, his first miracle is taking water, ordinary water, and transforming it into extraordinary wine. It's about taking the leftovers of people, the scraps, and then feeding a multitude of 5,000, right from the ordinary, the extraordinary of the feeding. It's taking this ragtag group of uneducated men and women and transforming them into the church, this transnational organization that is spreading love and doing charity just within a generation of Jesus' death and resurrection. Again, Jesus takes the ordinary and through faith transforms it into extraordinary vessels of God's love. And this is what's going to happened today here, right? The bread and wine of communion. This isn't special bread. It probably was bought at Wise this week. But yet it becomes, through faith, something extraordinary for us, a vessel of God's love and redemption, the body and blood of Jesus Christ given and shed for you and for me. And this is true in our lives as well, where the ordinary becomes extraordinary. And I could give many examples of this, but I'll go right forward and I'll say, you know, what really shows the way that the ordinary through faith becomes the extraordinary vessel of love. I think about after a person has died, how difficult it is to go through and throw out their stuff. Stuff that the week before they died, you would have gotten rid of so fast. But after they die, everything suddenly is just loaded with decades of meaning. And when I think about the things that, when I look back on the people that I love, so often when I miss them, it's the ordinary. Playing catch, having a cup of coffee, taking a dog for a walk. These are the things that are ordinary, yet they become infused with meaning and love, and they become extraordinary. So this is the power of Jesus to transform the ordinary into the extraordinary through faith and through his word for the purposes of love and praise. Okay, so far so good. But you see, there something is happening in this story, and that is that the donkey in the story is tied up. And the word there is actually bound. The donkey is bound and must be untied. And that got me thinking this week, okay, so we all might agree that there's gifts, there's ordinary things that we have that could potentially be used for extraordinary purposes of God. But we all know that there's lots of things that hold us back, that bind us, bind others. This week I was working with a family, and there's recovery from addiction in that family. Certainly addiction is something that binds. Another person grew up in a family that didn't value women in education. Certainly that has bound that person. Another person wanted to honor a dead loved one, but they didn't have money. They were bound by their poverty, their lack of resources. Again, there's all sorts of things in life that bind us. But you see, what Jesus does is he sends his disciples and says, untie it. I think it's a metaphor for what we are as a church when we're told each week to go in peace and serve the Lord. We're sent out to unbind those who are bound, to free people so that the ordinary can fulfill its extraordinary purposes in life. I want to share with you how I see this playing itself out in our lives and in our church. There's a group from our church that has started going to Ethiopia. Let me take that over. There's a group that has now members of our church are going with them. This is the Madan Initiative, and I know that some of you will be going to Ethiopia with them. And one of the things that they do is they work with elementary schoolers, and one of the things that they do is they do vision testing. And the reason why they do vision testing is because in that particular part of the world, vision testing would be a very kind of luxury good. But I think about the kids in that class, and you know there's got to be at least a couple in that class that they're sitting there, and they might be smart. They might be wickedly smart. They might be another engineer who could build a bridge in that country, but they can't see the board. And if you can't see the board, you know what's going to happen, right? You're going to start to get rutsy. You're going to start misbehaving because you can't understand what the teacher's writing, or you can't read the books that they have for you. It's something very ordinary, glasses. There's probably about a billion pair on this planet, but it does something extraordinary, especially in the life of a child, because now that child can see, that child can learn, that child grows up without a stigma. Well, the Madan Initiative came to us and said, hey, there's this piece of equipment that we want to buy, and it turns out that last year you all gave a little bit more than we spent. So we said, yes, we can buy that piece of equipment, and you can go and you can test. Again, there's something beautiful when the church, when the people of God can do this in our lives, through this church, again, in any arena where we have that sense that Jesus has sent us out to unbind and to loosen up the gifts, to free people, to free the ordinary for its extraordinary purposes that God intends. But you see, this is a concrete example. This is something where, again, we can fix the problem by putting glasses on a person. But we know that there's a lot of binding that's way deeper than something so physical. I have some friends, and they adopted children who are a little bit older. And what they discovered is that after they had these children in their house, and things looked like they were fine. It was a loving home, and there was food on the table, and there was laughter. But when they would go, and they would go to the room of the children, and they would lift up the pillow to make the bed, they would realize that there was food underneath the pillows. You see, these kids are grown up in such poverty, they didn't know where their next meal was going to come from. And they would hoard. Even though the cupboards in this family were totally full, they couldn't get it out of their mind that they didn't know where their next meal was coming from. Again, they were still bound. The story was still there in their head. There's a way in which in our lives there are stories that we tell ourselves. There are lies. There are lies that we believe. And even though the situation has changed, we just can't let go of that lie about ourselves, about power, about love in this world. And it holds us back, and we remain bound. This last week, two separate people asked me, why did Jesus have to die? And I think in this we start to see perhaps one of the many answers we could bear witness to in this. You see, yes, I could say, well, Jesus died to show a different way. The way of Jesus, the way of palms becomes the way of the cross. It is not the way of Rome. But Jesus did more than simply model something, because, you know, the problem is Jesus wants to set us free, and therefore somehow Jesus has got to deal with the lies in our head. We are not free as long as those stories, as long as those lies keep bouncing around and holding us back. And so somehow Jesus has got to do this. Jesus has got to break us from that lie. And so Jesus is going to do something by his faith through an ordinary piece of two pieces of wood and a bunch of nails. And he's going to do an extraordinary act of love. And he's going to be killed for the lies in this world. He's going to be killed for the lies in our head. And he's going to take them, and he's going to expose them for the lie that they are. He's going to show that the way of Rome, the way of the sword, is bankrupt. And he's going to show that voice in our head that is always telling us that we are not enough, that we are not enough for God's love, that we can't do it. It's going to be shown that that is indeed a lie, because with Christ, all things are possible. All sins are forgivable. And all shame is conquerable. And so, yes, this is the mighty work of God. And so I want to ask you, though, today, what is the lie? What is the lie that you give way to? That you know at 2:00 in the afternoon isn't fully true. Yet you observe by the work of your hands that story, that lie is motivating you. And maybe it's a story, maybe it's a lie about where you get your worth from. Maybe it's about, again, where you get your worth from, where that you need to get a certain job, go to a certain school, make a certain income. Maybe it's a lie about your lovability, that others won't care for you. Maybe it's a lie that says, I don't have anything that I can make a difference with. There's no way God could do anything extraordinary through me. I don't know what that lie is that haunts you and keeps you up at night. But this week, I invite you, as we walk to the cross, to hand that lie over to Jesus. And to let Jesus take that lie and expose it for what it is, a lie, and to reveal to you his truth. His truth that his way is the way. And that in your and my life, it is not our sin, our shame, our death that has the final word, but it is the truth, it is the love, and it is the resurrection of Jesus that will always have the final word in our lives. Thanks be to God. Amen.